Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and if you're heading out to play along Super Bowl Boulevard, the temporarily renamed Broadway between 34th and 47th Streets, here are some things to keep in mind. There's an animated NFL play zone designed for children 6 to 13 called Super Bowl Theater. As far as I know, it does not include simulations of concussion-causing headbutts. The autographs are free from noon to 5 p.m. The $5 fee for the toboggan ride they have will go to charity, but the Macy's NFL merchandise sales won't. And in case you didn't know, the National Football League is a tax-exempt 501c6 organization. And as Greg Easterbrook pointedly puts it in The Atlantic, nearly all NFL franchises are privately owned, converting public subsidies and tax favors into high living for a modern-day feudal elite. Greg Easterbrook joins us now to talk about those tax favors for high-rolling owners and why the initials NFL could stand for a non-profit tax status football league and how they get away with it. He's an Atlantic Magazine contributor and author of The King of Sports, Football's Impact on America. Hi, Greg. Thanks for coming on WNYC today.
Sure. Glad to be here, Brian.
Lots of things happened in the 1960s, the civil rights movement, the anti-war movement, the feminist movement, the gay rights movement, the environmental movement, and Congress declared the NFL a not-for-profit tax-exempt organization. Tell us the story.
In Washington, D.C., the essence of the lobbyist art is to slip a couple words into legislation that no one notices or knows what they mean. So when Congress was moving a bill in 1966 that had to do with lots of other things, NFL lobbyists got the phrase "and professional football leagues" slipped into the legal definition of a not-for-profit enterprise. And ever since then, NFL headquarters on 345 Park Avenue, not far from you, the building is beautiful. It looks like the headquarters of Goldman Sachs. That NFL headquarters is a non-profit. It doesn't pay any taxes. Roger Goodell, the commissioner of the NFL, who last year paid himself $30 million, on paper appears to be the administrator of a charitable enterprise.
Wow. We know about 501c3 tax-exempt groups like charities and cultural institutions, and 501c4s, controversial because they can collect anonymous political donations. But what is a 501c6?
It was a category that was meant to cover things that maybe should be tax-exempt, chambers of commerce, things of that nature, business-related organizations that don't themselves seek to make a profit. So maybe your local chamber of commerce should be tax-exempt. They don't seek a profit. You don't think the NFL seeks a profit? $10 billion a year, the league rolls in money, and yet claims on paper to be a nonprofit, and they're not doing anything improper. I certainly don't want to suggest that. Everything they're doing is completely legal. That's what's really offensive about it.
Maybe the whole system is improper. The T-shirts, the jerseys, the other NFL merchandise that the fans buy, is that all licensed by the NFL? Do they get a licensing fee, a little cut of each jersey that somebody buys from their favorite team?
Oh, yes. The NFL is extremely aggressive in enforcing its trademarks and taking trademark fees on practically everything. There was a Supreme Court case on that very subject just 3 years ago. Now, when I talk about the NFL headquarters being not-for-profit, it's very offensive, not only because they should be paying their fair share. The NFL is located in New York City. New York law says that not-for-profit status should not be used as a subterfuge for personal enrichment. $30 million a year sounds like personal enrichment to me. You look at the individual clubs, we assume that the individual clubs are paying corporate income taxes, but we don't know because they all take public subsidies, and with the exception of the Green Bay Packers, they don't disclose any financial data.
Do the other leagues have the same status, the NBA or NHL or Major League Baseball?
I actually don't know. I know about the antitrust status of those leagues, but I don't know about their headquarters organizing status.
Because I notice in the text of the law, and I guess we won't be able to answer this question right now. Maybe we can look it up in the back room while we're talking. But the language of the law that you excerpted from the 60s, said 501c6s, tax-exempt, such as business leagues, chambers of commerce, and the clause that got it inserted was, and professional football leagues. It didn't say professional sporting leagues.
Well, as I say, I can't answer that question for other sports. I've spent way too many years studying football and not studied the others.
So if it's a not-for-profit organization, they can't have shareholders or owners. Roger Goodell, the president of the NFL, is only one guy, even if he's making $30 million. Where does the rest of that money go?
Well, most of the money, the NFL's main source of income is, of course, television contracts, which just keep getting bigger. Next year, this year, 2014, the NFL will realize about $7 billion from television contracts. Most of that money goes to the clubs. It's divided by 32 and distributed to the clubs. And as I say, we assume that the clubs, the individual teams, the Giants, Jets, so on, are paying corporate income taxes on that money, but we don't know because they don't disclose anything, even though the public subsidizes them. I think the larger scheme, the nonprofit status of NFL headquarters is quite offensive. But the larger scandal involving more money is roughly $1 billion a year in public subsidies directly to the construction and operation of NFL stadia, from which all of the revenue is privatized.
A whole other stretch of your article is about the teams themselves. We've been talking mostly about the NFL as a league portion. These are for-profit businesses, as you say. But that line of yours that I quoted about them in the introduction is scathing. Nearly all NFL franchises are privately owned, converting public subsidies and tax favors into high living for a modern-day feudal elite. And one of the teams here for the Super Bowl is the Seattle Seahawks, which is owned by Paul Allen, as you say, one of the richest people in the world. Tell us how the taxpayers of Seattle subsidize Paul Allen.
Yeah, Paul Allen, one of the richest people who's ever lived, owns that team. The Washington State taxpayers, if you convert to current dollars, paid $400 million of the $500 million construction cost of the field where the Seahawks play. And it's a beautiful facility. I've been to games there. It's a great place to sit and watch a football game. But why did the taxpayers of Washington State, including the people who live 300-400 miles from Seattle, pay for Paul Allen's stadium? Paul Allen, in return, pays a token rent of $1 million a year, which and keeps all the rest of the revenue, which would be more than 100 times that. So the rent that he pays is as if your mortgage was $25 a month and the public was supporting the rest.
And you have examples from San Francisco, where the 49ers play, from New Orleans, where the Saints play, and what small government conservative governor Bobby Jindal spends of taxpayer dollars on an inducement payment, as they call it. So really, the people who clean the toilets in these stadiums are subsidizing the people who own them.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And the Superdome in New Orleans, almost $1 billion of federal, state, and local money has gone into building that. Tom Benson, the owner of the team, keeps all the revenue. And they actually pay him. The phrase inducement payment is the phrase you use. If you were listening to an FBI wiretap and some guy named Big Tony said, "I'm going to give you an inducement payment," you would say that means a bribe. That's what the state of Louisiana pays to Tom Benson, the owner of the New Orleans Saints, on top of paying all the cost of building and operating his stadium. And he is sadly not the only example like this. I say in The King of Sports that the NFL is really good at two things. It's good at producing high-quality sports entertainment. The games are consistently terrific. I'll be at the Super Bowl in New Jersey on Sunday. I'm sure it's going to be a terrific game. The other thing that the NFL is good at is fleecing taxpayers, which they're sadly really good at.
For the record, you actually mentioned that the Jets and the Giants are two home teams. You mentioned them in relatively positive terms for some of the math involving their finances, right?
They have paid the only two teams that have paid a meaningful share of the construction and operating costs of their stadium, the only two stadiums, are the Jets and Giants in New Jersey and the New England Patriots in Boston. The ownership families of those three clubs have paid 75% of the cost of their stadium, but they still take lots of breaks. And in the case of MetLife Stadium, where the game is going to be played, the Jets and Giants combined pay $6 million per year in what should be property taxes. It's a negotiated discount from the local taxing body. If they were taxed at the same rate as other comparable businesses, they'd pay $20 million a year. So they're not paying a fair share of property taxes. And in return for, on paper, financing that stadium themselves, the state and county government gave them public property that's worth about $2 billion. So that's property that could have been sold, money used for taxpayers. Instead, it's a gift to the Jets and Giants. They came out ahead on paying for their own stadium.
To play devil's advocate for a minute, I think the reason that the politicians say that they have to make these inducement payments is that the teams can up and move. And sometimes NFL teams do up and move. There was once the St. Louis Cardinals. Now they're the Arizona Cardinals. The Jets were in serious talks about moving from New Jersey into New York. So is there nothing there?
Well, I think it's certainly a concern. No NFL team has moved in 18 years, and the NFL owners are known to have discouraged other owners from moving because they fear it would cause a political backlash, and the last thing they want is a political backlash to bring down their structure of subsidies. I can't guarantee they won't move, but I can tell you the most recent example was that last year in Florida, Stephen Ross, the billionaire owner of the Miami Dolphins, asked for a $400 million public subsidy to renovate the stadium where the Dolphins play. The Florida State Legislature said no. It's the first time in a long time anybody said no to the NFL on any subject. And the Dolphins did not move. They're not trying to move. Stephen Ross is paying the freight himself. I think if local politicians would follow Nancy Reagan and just say no to subsidy requests, that teams would stay where they are.
I wonder about if they call it a tax cut truce and refuse to let their citizens be suckered into this redistribution of wealth from the people who do all the regular jobs in these states to the people who own these incredibly lucrative franchises. It would take politicians across state lines to make some kinds of deals like, no, we're going to lure teams on other bases, but not by letting them hold up our taxpayers, our citizens for ransom, and they might get the people on their side. Before you go, I want to take one phone call because Jose in the Bronx says somebody's trying to do something about the NFL's tax-exempt status. Jose, you're on WNYC. Hi there.
Brian, thank you very much for taking my phone call. I admire your guest. There is a website, change.org. There is a petition right now that this tax exempt for NFL being reversed. And I hope all your listeners get involved in that. And right now it's about 4 million signatures. It is ridiculous that the cities, and by the way, about your guest, that the people, you said that the people threatening to leave. Buffalo Bills has been trying to leave for past 10 years and nobody's listening. So people are getting smarter. These people are getting rich. It is ridiculous that the commissioner gets $39 million and doesn't pay one dime. So I just want to add that, and I hope your listeners that to go to this website, change.org, including your guest, put it in his article so that people start writing this petition. Hopefully the NFL will lose their tax exempt. By the way, NBA and NHL have the same tax exempt.
Ah, thank you, Jose. I appreciate it. A thought on the prospect for change for the NFL's tax-exempt status, Greg, before you go?
I can tell you two things. Senator Tom Coburn of Oklahoma, who's one of the few conservatives who, in Congress who actually believes in cutting benefits, including to the wealthy, has proposed a bill that would end tax breaks for professional sports. Angus King of Maine, who's a very independent man, just signed on as a co-sponsor. And tomorrow Thursday, an organization called SAC NFL Tax Breaks is going to announce a package of public affairs campaigns to try to get something accomplished, and we're hearing that Senator Coburn will speak at that event.
Greg Easterbrook is an Atlantic Magazine contributor and the author of The King of Sports, Football's Impact on America. Thank you so much for raising our awareness of this.
Thanks for talking to me, Brent.